your Bibles, I want you to turn to Exodus 25, verse 8. I am going to start off by telling you that I have been wrestling with this message today, and I really believe that I have a word from the Lord for you. I feel like that every Sunday, but I feel like today there are people in this room who have been stuck. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a situation, in a relationship. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a situation financially. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a situation emotionally, like you've been trying to get over something, but you cannot. Maybe you feel like you've been trying to do something different in your life and nothing is changing. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand this morning. I believe we got a word for you. All right. Okay, good. It's the right place. It's the right place. I want to make sure that I didn't hear something wrong from the Lord. And so this morning, I'm going to tell you that God wants you to get unstuck. So, nobody, get unstuck. Before I get too far into it, I have a family that is, they came to me last week. They're rather new to our congregation. And both of the children got baptized. When did you guys get baptized? About 3-4 months ago? 5-6 months ago? Come on up, the Jackson family. Yeah, they don't want to come, but come on. Their father's not here because the Lord is blessing them. And, you know, somebody called me a few weeks ago and said they had a word from the Lord for me. And they said that they were a person who used to go to this church and God had moved them away. And they said, Pastor, you don't know the impact that this church is making. She said, you don't see a lot of people in your church, but you don't see the fruit of your church because your church will raise up disciples and then God will always send them. And I was like, interesting. Okay, thanks for that word. And then the next week, Miss Jackson came up to me, and I felt the Lord saying, go talk. And we never really talk after service, but I went to her and I said, I feel the Lord said, how can I pray for you? And she said, oh, we're moving. And I was like, oh, which part of San Jose are you moving to? She said, no. They're moving to Idaho. I said, y'all going from few black people to even fewer black people. But as she said that, I felt the Lord just say that he has something new at another level for them. So their husband's not here because he's back in Idaho. He's preparing for their move. This is their last Sunday here. So we want to encourage them. I'm going to ask you if you would extend your hands to them. Pastor Jen, come on up. We're going to pray for them and their family as they leave. Doreen, come on up. This is her family. She's crying like already. Doreen is the connection that brought them to this church. And so we are so grateful. These two got baptized here, but God is sending them to a whole new level. So, Father, we thank you for the Jackson family. We pray, Lord, for Eric is your husband's name, right? We pray for Eric as he's in Idaho, and we pray for this entire family that you would bond them even closer. I declare over them that every dream, every promise that you have ever given them financially for their family, for their dreams and hopes for the children shall come to pass, that this move is just simply a step up into the next place where you're calling them to be. Lord, we declare your protection over them as they travel. We pray, Father God, that you would bless the children with new friends, with great schools, that you will help them, Father God, to just engage with good people who will help them to be the young men and women that you've called them to be. We pray that you would strengthen their family, strengthen their marriage, strengthen their bond in you. Place them in an amazing church home, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. We bless you as you leave. The Bible says you're blessed when you come in and you bless when you go out. So I don't like people to leave this church without knowing they've been blessed. Somebody say amen. All right, give the Lord a hand praise. Y'all make sure you hug them after service. And pray for them, continue to pray for them. All right, so if you have your Bibles, Exodus 25, verse 8, we are in a series called A Meeting with God. And in this series, what we are doing is showing you a blueprint. God has absolutely laid out a blueprint for us as to how we have a relationship and an intimate connection with him. I want to encourage you to know that this is all throughout the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you see this blueprint. And we've been unpacking it. I've been taking my time through it. I said I'm not going to rush through it, so much so that we're doing it also on Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, we're going into some of the very nitty-gritty details of this blueprint. And on Sunday morning, we're giving you a bigger, broader view. And so this morning, we're continuing with that. So if you would do me a favor, it's one quick verse. But out of reverence for God's word, I know y'all been standing long during worship. See, that's why I stopped wearing my cute heels to church. Because I mean, we stand and we sit. I like to be comfortable when I worship. So if just for a second, could you stand? If you got on your cute heels and they hurt, just take them off. Just for a second. Let's read. Let's do our Bible affirmation, then we'll read our one verse together. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, hold them high in the air. Let's say our affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Thank you, Jesus. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Exodus 25, verse 8, we'll read that one verse. We'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen, so I'll kick that over. Let's read them together. Ready? And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Father, in Jesus' name, I sense that you have a word this morning. I pray that you would help me to deliver it with power, conviction, and with an understanding. I pray that you would pierce the hearts of every person that's here so that they may hear from you today. Move me aside and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to another level. Oh, y'all said that like y'all don't care. Turn to somebody else and say it like you mean it. I'm going to another level. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. The title of my message today is Another Level. It's another level, 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 another level. It is time to stop being stuck where we are, and it is time to move to another level. And I was wrestling with this because I've been in church for a long time, and I've heard a whole lot of messages about we going to another level. And I used to get mad because I would say, you be talking all that stuff, and then I go home and everything's still the same. And I'm like, God, is this? So I was wrestling, God, I don't want to entitle this another level, but God wanted me, I feel like, to share something with you. And that is that your ability to go to another level is not based on your circumstance. It's not even based on whether God wants you to get there. Your ability to go to another level has everything to do with you. So whether you move to another level or not, it's about you. You determine whether you go to the next level or not. Now, nobody likes to deal with that. So let me show you this in scripture. What I'd like to do, can you put the illustration, the tabernacle, the one with the, you know, the basic one we use every week? She'll find it. Not that one. The sketch. Alex knows which one it is. All right. So I want to show you how we have been walking through this teaching about the tabernacle. There it is. And this is important because this is the Old Testament tabernacle. And last week I kept telling you, everybody look at Old Testament and they get mad. They're like, oh, it's Old Testament. All the these and the thous and the Malachi's and the Mushniks and all those names. I don't like dealing with the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is a shadow of what's to come in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. And in this tabernacle, we can see Jesus in our relationship. And what we've been talking about is this is the pattern for how we get to the presence of God. The Holy of Holies is where the presence of God resided. God set this up so that we who were sinners could find a way to get back to him. You need to understand that from Genesis to Revelations, all God has ever wanted is to meet with you. God created this whole earth and he made us so that we can build and have relationship with him. All God wants is to spend time with you. All he wants is for you to be in his presence. All God is looking for is to just have relationship and fellowship with you. Most people think God wants something from me. You are right. You know what he wants? He just wants your presence. And we keep saying, God, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I got too much going on. And I'm telling you that if you want to go to another level, you are going to have to get closer to God and have to be walking with him in his presence. No, nobody likes that because what we want is to come to church and say, Pastor, give me a word so I can walk out of here and I can be rich. I ain't got no word like that. You want a word so you can come up here and your marriage gets instantly fixed. I have no word like that. What I have for you is the pattern that God set up. Because what happens is religion is man's attempt to get to God. But watch this. This is God's attempt for how we get to him. And religion is all about what I'm going to do to get up there. But we are trying our own things. We're doing our things. We come in and go in when we want to. Oh, this is about to be ugly, Jesus. We serving God like we want to. We're serving God when we want to, where we want to, and how we want to. And we wonder why we're not going to another level. God, I want another level. So let me show you this. This is the gate. And the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts, see the outer court, with praise. What that means is when you walk in to God's presence, if you're trying to get to God, you ought to come with praise and you ought to come with thanksgiving. And you say, well, what is praise and thanksgiving? Praise and thanksgiving is, Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, I thank you for letting me see a new day. Lord, I thank you that I can move my arms and move my legs. See, how many times do we even start our day by just thanking God for how good he has already been? We trying to hurry up and run and get to God and say, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And God says, wait a second, you never said thank you for what I already did. What if God took away from you what you didn't thank him for today? Oh man, we'd be broke every day. Right? But God says, enter, come before me with thanksgiving and come before me with praise. Thanksgiving is all about, Lord, this is what you've done and I thank you for it. When we come into the sanctuary, when we come to church, this ought to happen before you ever cross that door. Okay, nobody likes this. Jesus, I'm losing them. Let me help find you. I thought we wanted to go to another level. You can't get to another level until you go through the process. So if you want to get to another level, you got to become a better praiser. I ain't talking about worship yet, just praise. Praise is thanking God for what he does. Worship is thanking him for who he is. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you don't even have to be saved to praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. That's why we in the outer court. In the outer court, before we even get to anything special, you don't have to be saved to praise God. Anything can praise God. Look, the trees can praise God. The birds sing beautifully. They praise God. The little child who don't know God can praise God. Everybody ought to praise God because God has been so good. God created the earth. God created the atmosphere so we can breathe. God created waters and trees. God did all of that. And for that, we ought to say thank you, Jesus. But God is like, there is another level. Some of us just stop at thanking him for what he's done, and we don't move into saying, God, I worship you because of who you are, because you are King of Kings, because you are Redeemer, because you are Lord of Lords, because you are holy, because you are my Savior, because you have done so much for me. I'm going to worship you for who you are. We don't move there. So what I want to show you today is that there are levels of Christianity. And God wants you to move from one level to another level. See, you thought that level was going to be about your money, didn't you? You thought that, that's why everybody's all like, I'm going to another level. No, no, I want you to go to another level in your walk with God. Because if you get to another level in your walk with God, you'll see God do something. So here's what happens. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. You get to this altar, which is the altar of sacrifice. And at this altar, they would kill innocent lambs in replacement for our sins. This represents the cross. The cross is the place of salvation. It is the place where we come to Jesus and say, look, you take my sins and here I am. Forgive me of my sins. Then we move on to the bronze laver, which is what we talked about last week. The bronze laver represents baptism, which is praise the Lord. We got two people getting baptized today. The bronze laver is represented by, we talked last week about three things, how it's a cleansing with the word, how it allows us to change the image of who we are, and how it allows us to go, watch this, as a preparation place for the next level. Now, everything in this outer court, this courtyard, was under the sun. It was wide open. That means there was no covering. Watch this. This represents us as new believers. People who come to Jesus and we believe and we've been baptized, we are in the outer court. Okay? What does that mean? That means there's a lot of people who come to Jesus and never move to the next level. There's a lot of people who come to Jesus and just go to show up at church on Sunday, say, I'm saved, say, yay, woo, I'm happy. This is good. And God is like, you know what? There is a tent. This everything in this smaller part is covered by a tent. There is a tent where we can go deeper, where you can really begin to see me transform your heart, where you can really begin to hear from me. How many of you are saying, God, I need to know more of you. I need to know what you're saying to me. I need to get a deeper revelation of who you are. God, I'm sick and tired of just seeing the world this way. There's got to be more for me than this. If you feel like that, then you're in a place where you're ready to go to another level. And it's time to start moving in deeper and deeper and deeper. If you are still saying, I'm okay out here. I don't, you know, it's cool. I'm saved. I like the basics. That's good. Didn't stay there, but we're getting ready to go to another level. Okay, that's the overview. Everybody say amen. All right, so here we go. Jesus, Father God said in Exodus 25:8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God says, I'm going to come down, dwell among you, because you can't come to get to me. So I'm going to make this sanctuary. So I want to show you something about this holy of holies, this little small room that's covered. Psalm 91, verse 1. In all other places of the Bible so far, we've been talking about God dwelling with us. But here's a passage where you begin to see where God wants us to dwell with him. Here's a part of the steps that we're talking about. I'm not even giving you no steps. I'm just telling you what's got on my heart. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You got to understand something. Go back to that picture of the tabernacle. Everything in the outer court, take the scripture off. Everything in the outer court was uncovered. That's not secret. That's not special. Matter of fact, you could be on a mountain, look down and see a whole bunch of stuff happening. Where the secret starts to happen is what's happening under this cover tent, these two little squares here. It's covered. It's hidden. It's quiet. That means what God is trying to do in your life, ain't nobody else gonna see it yet. You're gonna know it because God's doing a work inside of you, but nobody else is gonna understand what's happening inside of you. Nobody's gonna understand why you're feeling different about things. Nobody's gonna understand why I can't go out like I used to wanna go out. No, nobody's gonna understand why I can't sleep around because the kids ain't here today. Why I can't sleep around and do this and do that and be with who I wanna be anymore. Nobody understands why I can't smoke what I used to smoke no more. Nobody understands why I can't spend my money the way I used to spend. Why? Because I'm going to another place. And it's a secret place, and everybody's not gonna get it. As a matter of fact, the deeper you get behind these walls, the more closer you get to the holies of holies, the fewer people you'll see. Show that picture that's that I sent to you this morning. Watch this. I want to show you this. Outside, this is the tabernacle, what it looks like. Outside are the 12 tribes of Israel, and there'll be 4 tribes to the north, 4 tribes to the south, 4 tribes to the east, to the west. When you look down, God sees the cross, okay? It's a lot of people on the outside. It's a whole lot of people in the world. But not everybody can get back to where that light is shining in the back. And as they move in, to get in the courts, you had to be the head of one of the tribes. So now we got fewer people inside the court. To go into the holy place, the next room, could only be the priest. And the priest would go in there and they would serve every day. And to get back to the place where the presence of Almighty God actually sat, you could only go once a year. So look at this. Look at this. The crowd keeps getting smaller the closer you get to God. If you're looking for a crowd, if you're looking for a lot of people to hang with, if you want to be a social butterfly, God bless you. Stay in the outer court. You will never move to another level because the closer you get to God, the fewer people are going to go with you. This is not exciting, is it? This is the reason why everybody can't go to another level. Yeah, I feel like so alone, Jesus. Everybody can't go to another level because everybody's not willing to do what's necessary to get to the next level. And when we talk about going to another level with God, this is why I say it's all dependent on you. Are you willing to do what's necessary to get in the secret place? Or do you like the world too much? See, to go to another level, you're going to have to... You're going to have to walk away from some people. I declare there's some people in your life who are not all good for you. Everybody like to say this works for young people. Oh, I see your friends. They say, what about your friends? Some of us got some friends that we've been friends with for years, and because we've been friends with for years, we still friends with them, but they ain't doing nothing to help us get closer to God. You got some friends that when you having marriage problems, you call them, and you know what they say? Girl, you ought to divorce him anyway. And I look at them, and I say, are they in a happy marriage? And everybody said, no, they divorced too. That's why they want you divorced. Everybody can't go with you here. This is a place, well, watch this, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret. I've been praying once the Lord showed me this, and I said, Lord, you know, those of you who are single, stop praying for them to look a certain way. Stop praying for them to talk a certain way, have a certain job, and pray that there'll be people who will dwell and get in the secret place with God. Because if a brother will go in the secret place for God, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. If a brother will go in the secret place and hear from Almighty God, that means God will work in his heart. God will transform. God will speak to him. God will do something. I don't have no work to do. When I was married, my husband, he was a secret place dude. We would go through stuff, and I'd be like, ooh, he getting on my nerves, Jesus. And I remember I never said a word because I knew every morning he went in a secret place. And he would come back, and he said, you know, I was praying, and the Lord told me I shouldn't have talked to you that way. And I said, the Lord was right. See, if you're in a marriage and you feel like it's some stuff happening in your marriage, just pray for your spouse to get in the secret place. Because if they get in the secret place, God will start to do a work in their heart. God will start to transform them. See, you're trying to do what only Father God can do. This is why if you're not married, you better be careful who you pick. Okay, that's enough. That's Friday night's messages for singles. Amen. All right. He who dwells in the secret place. Now, let me show you something. This is the next level. It is not that God always wants to dwell with you, but it is that you have chosen to dwell and be with God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High is talking about God and us being in relationship. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This outer court. How many of us have been trying to get God to do something and not seeing anything happen? It's because we're not abiding with him. Some people say, well, I'm in the outer court. I mean, I'm saved. I'm baptized. Doesn't that mean I'm with him? No, that means you're getting closer to him. That don't mean you with him. Put up that picture. With him is in the Holy of Holies. With him is not just because I got saved and because I got baptized. That's why you got to keep growing in your walk with God. That's why you can't stop. This is why church is so important, because church is supposed to be teaching you how to move from outer court into the Holy of Holies. Church is supposed to be teaching you how to live this whole thing out. So watch this. Everybody want to get saved and figure out everything in one day. That ain't going to happen. God is a progressive God. You're going to grow in your walk with God. You're going to grow to a new level with God. You're going to grow to a new depth with God. And as you grow, God begins to reveal and do certain things for you. I'm going to show you this illustration because I think it's so powerful. See, that tent is covered. Outside of the tent is hot. Right? Now, the Lord did have a cloud over them by day. So there are people who are going to get a covering just in your household because you were saved. That's the cloud. Just because you've come to Jesus, the Bible says that your whole house is sanctified because you saved. That don't mean they all going to heaven. It means that God has got a protection over them. What happens when that cloud comes is a protection comes from heat. But there is no power. Watch this. So we move closer. Once we get under the tent, we now have three things available to us. I'm going to tell you what these three things are. I'm going to talk about them after Easter. But the three things you get when you get under the tent is you get protection, you get provision, and you get power. That does not come in the outer court. You get protection, provision and power. Let me explain this to you. The closer you get to God, the more you walk in the secret place, the more you are going to experience God's protection, provision, and power on your life. You're not going to really see it. You're going to see God do some stuff in the outer court. But I mean, you're not going to see the healings. I have seen people who had cancer be healed. I have seen people who have had diseases be completely healed because there is power as you get under the tent with the Holy Spirit and God begins to do something. I have seen people who have been addicted to drugs who couldn't get off drugs for nothing. Watch this. As they came closer to God, look, the provision, the protection, and the power started to show up. You're going to see things happen in the outer court, but you're going to get deeper revelations and see more miracles happen when you start moving deeper. Power, protection, provision. It works like this. I have two children, and I like them sometimes. But because they are in my house, they are covered by me. So since they are covered by me, when they are struggling with something, I have the power to help them because they're covered by me. And because they're covered by me, I'm going to protect them. You try to say something about my child, earrings come off, girlfriend. We going at it. They get my, because they're covered by me, they get my protection. And they eat up my food. And they soak up my lights. So they come under me and they get my provision. Now, those of you who are not my children don't get the same level of protection, power, and provision. Watch this, because you're not mine. You're not under my covering. Watch this. But those of you who are in this church, you are under my covering. So you'll get a certain level of power, which is you're going through something, Pastor, I don't know how to get out of it. Come on over here. Let me pray for you. So there is a power that God has given that I'm going to release on your life so that you can have breakthrough and deliverance. Watch this. If you're in this church and you're a part of this church, you're under my protection. I will watch over you and say, the enemy is trying to take you out. Let me tell you how to defeat him. Let me tell you how to get over him. See, y'all have to understand God puts you here so that you can have power, you can have protection, and watch this, you can also have provision. If you're in this church and you have a need, let us know. We will provide as much provision as we can. When you get under a covering, you get power, protection, and provision. This is why you can't be out there without a church. This is why you can't be out there, and everybody wants to be solo now. Everybody wants to do their own thing and go rogue. You can't go rogue, because if you go rogue, you're out from under a covering. You have no power, no protection, no provision. Watch this. Men are supposed to provide power, protection, and provision for their families. Come here, Candace and Joey. Watch this. This is their job. Man, I'm about to speak to you. I don't like yelling at the brothers, but I'm about to yell. Watch this. When Candace was over here single by herself, if somebody tried to mess with Candace, Candace got to deal with them by herself. If somebody tries to hurt Candace, Candace is trying to figure out how to fight for herself. When Candace is struggling financially, Candace is trying to figure out, how do I get provision on my own? Watch this. But when she got married, she came under a covering. And the covering is there. Watch this. So that now if somebody try to mess with Candace, they got to get through Joey. And if Candace says, somebody messing with me, going over here, somebody messing with me, all she got to do is run back to her covering, and her covering will say, I got this. That's protection. When Candace is saying, Joey, ain't no food in the cupboard, there is no money, Joey say, hold on, I got this. I'm going to go get provision for you. Y'all missing this. Look, his job is to be what? The provider. So I'm going to get it, and I'm going to bring it back to you so that you and everything under me will have the provision. Candace is saying, my knee hurts. What do I do? Joey says, hold on. I'm going to go over here and pray so I can get some power to come back and lay hands on your knees, your knee can be healed. So when you come here, men, your job is to provide power, protection, and provision. But let me tell you something. The Bible says he who finds a wife also finds a good thing. which means he's not left without power, protection, and provision either. Come on back together. Because if a woman trying to get to him, she like, hold up, chief. I'm going to protect that. If he's struggling to provide, or if something happens accidentally, not on purpose, he's still working to provide. Candace say, I got you. I'll take a season. I'll go provide. Come on back. If he's saying, babe, I'm struggling with something, she say, that's all right. Get on one knee. I'll pray for you so that there is power coming for you. See, it works both ways. When I get a covering, I get power, protection, and provision. And God is saying, I'm trying to take you to a new level because you need power, you need protection, and you need provision. You've been out here, thank you, give them a hand. You've been out here doing this long enough. You've been out here struggling long enough. If you're single, don't marry nobody who can't give you power, protection, and provision. Y'all don't want me to teach that, do you? Men, don't you grab nobody and take them as a wife till you can give them power, protection, and provision. See, the next level is about moving from a place where God just says, I'll wipe away your sins, to the place where God says, I'm giving you power, I'm giving you protection, and I'm giving you provision. Show me this in scripture. Watch this. Psalm 91, he said, he who dwells. Those of you who abide and hang out with me in the secret place behind that tent shall abide under the shadow. That means I got you covered. That means I'm coming with a covering. Let me show you what you get. Watch, put those scriptures up. I don't even remember where they are. Psalm 91, verse 3. Watch this. Verse 3. Watch this. Protection. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You know what? God wants to cover you because the enemy is coming. He said, anybody who's in my secret place, when the enemy shows up, I'm going to deliver you out of it. Okay, let me give you some modern day times. I'm on this single thing, so I might as well stick with it. If you're under my protection and a snake try to come to you, I'm getting so hot just praising the Lord inside because the Lord did it for me over and over again. And a snake, someone, a wolf in sheep's clothing tries to come and be with you, and they give you all the right words and the sweet nothings, and you got me, I'm yours, and yeah, I love Jesus too. And you like, yeah, Jesus. Look, the Lord will say, well, put that verse up there. If an enemy come, he's trying to take you away from me, I shall deliver you from that snare. Some of y'all are mad that Tyrone left. You better be praising God. You better be giving God a shout of praise because Tyrone was crazy as hell and Tyrone was gonna mess your life up. And God said, because you are in the secret place, I'm going to watch over you. Don't be mad that you're alone. Praise God that God is protecting you while you're alone. Single folks got to stop being mad that they lonely. It's married folks that still feel lonely. Loneliness ain't got nothing to do with whether you got somebody in your bed at night. Stop trying to get somebody in your bed at night because you don't want to be alone and start running to the secret place. I'm teaching good. All right, y'all don't like that. Money. Oh, put it back. Leave the scripture up now. Don't take it down because I'm teaching it. Watch this. Money. I ain't got no money. I'm struggling, God. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what, God. I'm going to go borrow. And I'm going to get further in debt. I'm going to go to Jehovah Visa. I don't need to go to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, because Jehovah Visa always takes care of me. I'm going to try to figure out on my own how to do it. What am I doing? I'm doing things on my own. God said, if you just get back in the secret place. Do you not know the Bible says there's much food in the fallow ground of the poor? Which means God's got ideas, he's got wisdoms, he's got revelations for people to help them get out of their financial situation. But you won't get the download as to what it is until you get to the secret place. You got young people who, we always ask this question, that is a dumb question, and I find myself asking it too, and I say it's dumb because it just don't make no sense. People say, well, what you gonna do when you graduate from high school? I don't know. Let's be honest. You ain't know either. Why are you asking them? They don't know. We put all this pressure on our young people. Figure out what you're going to do with the rest of it. And they feel like I got to figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So you know what they do? Is they go over by themselves and they make a plan on their own. And they don't realize that that may not be what God has called them to do. How many of y'all got a degree in one thing and ain't doing nothing with it? Yeah. I ain't saying you was wrong. I'm just saying we start trying to figure stuff out on our own. You know what I've been trying to talk to my kids about? I've been saying, what are you hearing the Lord say to you? Go to your secret place. What is God saying to you? God's got a perfect place for you. God knows where you're supposed to be. Because if you go on your own, you might be under a place where the enemy may come against you. I've seen kids go off to college, great schools, and I've watched them be pulled away from the Lord. And I've watched one in particular, a great young man, about 20 years ago. He ended up going away to a great school to be an engineer and got caught up one day, had one cup that had one wrong thing in it. And it twisted his whole life. He had to drop out of school. He came back to San Jose. He felt defeated. And I said, God still has a plan. See, you got out from under the protection. You got out from under the provision. You got out from under the power. That young man found his way back to God's protection, provision, and power. Is now married with three or four kids. I don't even know how many kids he's got. Him and his wife both serve the Lord. They're doing marriage ministry together. He's a VP. She's a VP. God's doing all kind of crazy stuff in his life. Why? Because he went back under the protection. And he knows, I'll never leave it again. See, this is why we need to tell our young people to come to Jesus. Because we trying to tell them, go figure out your life. And God said, if they get under the protection, I'll walk them through it. You got to figure nothing out. God will walk you through this. Watch this. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Watch the next verse. Go to verse 7. There's so much more. I could get in that, but I'll go to verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. You know what that means? Watch this. This is protection. This is power. There's a whole lot of folks that's going to get messed up by stuff, but it won't mess with you. How many of y'all, I done seen so many people get the flu bug this week, but what y'all don't know is, and it was like about a week ago, people was getting a flu bug in our church left and right. People was getting sick, and we came in church, and we said, hold up. This is a germ-free zone. Ain't nobody else walking out of here with no flu. No, you can't be sick. No. Ain't no, and why? Because we are under the covering of the Almighty. Y'all, some of y'all just sit back and y'all just say, we're going to take our chances and hope I don't get sick. No, I recognize I'm under a covering. So I run to my covering and I say, this is a germ-free zone in Jesus' name. You said 1,000 might fall from the flu at my left side and 10,000 might fall from the flu at the right, but it will not come near me. I shall not get sick in Jesus. Look, y'all got to start declaring this. You might see people, the economy started going bad a few years ago. People was losing their house left and right. People in this church started buying houses left and right. Watch this, because 1,000 might fall at your left side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Divorces might be happening in your family and all around you, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because I'm under the protection. I am trying to get you to understand that to go to another level, you got to dwell with God so that you can see the protection, the provision, and the power in your life. It's important. Watch this. Let's keep going because I'm done. Am I done? No, I ain't. I lied. My favorite verse, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. He said, because you've done that, watch what's going to happen. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels, you see this, charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. This is a prayer I pray over my children every morning. My 16-year-old just started driving about a month ago, and everybody say, aren't you worried? The day he got his license, I had a car ready, keys ready, and said, get on up out of here. You got to go. People are like, oh, my God, are you worried about him? Why? For he will give his angels charge. No evil shall befall him, nor shall any plague come to his will. I pray this over my child every day because my child is under the covering. I don't worry. Yeah, come on, somebody. You want to know why you're still worrying, because you don't know that you're under the cover. When you get under the cover, you don't worry. Because no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. This verse is not a promise for the visitor of God. These verses are promises for the dwellers. For stable, consistent, steadfast people who dwell in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. God is not looking for a one-night stand with you. Y'all don't like that. Don't start thinking about your one-night stands. God's not looking for a one-night stand with you. I want you to stop seeing Sunday morning as this is it. Sunday morning is your one-night stand. Sunday morning, your booty call. Ooh, did I say that? You know how you do them calls and you just go through once in a while, just occasionally trying to get hit it and quit it? Let me just get a word real quick and bounce. Let me just hear from God because I got this situation. Don't be looking at me like that. Y'all knew I was crazy when you showed up. Watch it. God wants, what did I tell you from Genesis to Revelation? All I want to do is dwell with you. All I want to do is relationship with you. As a matter of fact, God even likens it to a marriage where he's saying, you are my bride, which means I want to have deep, intimate connection and know you in a way that nobody else knows you. I want to be in fellowship with you. So if I want to know you like this, we can't do hit it and quit it. We can't do drive-bys. We can't do you in trouble, call me. No, what we got to do, because you know how it is. Bruhs be like, oh, it's late. I ain't got nobody. Let me call her. No, no, no. I don't want that kind of relationship. I want the relationship with God where it's deep and intimate. We know each other. He knows my hurts. He knows my needs. He knows my cares. I am dwelling with him. I'm not just a visitor with him. So I'm telling you, if you are just a visitor, no big deal. You can move into a place of dwelling. See, that's another level. How do I do that? That means I make a commitment to God. How often do we read our Bibles here? I make a commitment to God. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I make a commitment to God. I'm going to pray. I make a commitment to God that I'm going to come back to church on Sunday and I'm going to grow. I make a commitment to God that I'm going to do whatever it takes to get closer to him. And some of y'all say, well, I made those commitments before and I fell off. Here's the good thing about God. He's so loving. If he's been chasing and trying to dwell with us from Genesis through the book of Revelation, that's over 6,000 years. Do you think he's moved by the fact that you missed a Sunday or that you didn't pray today? He's been waiting on you for 6,000 years. Just come on back. If you mess up, all you got, I don't care if you, this is why, look, I hate when people tell me I thought you was a Christian because I cut somebody out. I'm still a Christian. God, put the tabernacle back up. I'm still a Christian. On the outer court, he's working with those fleshly things. He's dealing with my cussing problem. It has gotten better over 20 years. I don't cuss like I used to. I ain't said hell one time in this message. Watch this. But the outer court, he deals with my mess. There has to come a point where we move beyond God, deal with my mess. And we get into a place where we say, God, speak to me. Reveal stuff to me. Show me who I am. I want to show you this real quick. This represents the three parts of man. We as men are made up of spirit. We are made up of a soul. And we are made up of flesh, our body. The outer court is the flesh. It's the place where God deals with the mess. Your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your selfishness. He deals with it. He says, I have settled it at the cross. And then we get to the laver and he says, I'm about to change your image of who you are so you don't believe that that's who you really are anymore. You're better than that. And then God says, now that your mess is dealt, I got to go and start working with your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. There are three pieces of furniture in the holy place. They each represent your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because the Bible says you have to be transformed by the renewing of your, that only happens in the tent. That only happens when I'm getting closer to God and I'm dwelling in the secret place. See, all this other stuff might happen in front of other people, but God working on your mind, what does that look like, God changing your mind? You know all them things you used to see and the stuff you used to watch on TV, they get indelled. They get their indelible prints in your mind. But the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can wash those things out. You know the hurt that somebody caused you that made you say, I'll hate them forever? God can wash that out with the Word of God so that you're not walking around with a print of, I hate you, I can't stand you. God is doing a work, but it's happening in the inner place. God begins to work on your mind. He begins to work, come on somebody, on your emotions and your will. That means he begins, some of us live so much by our emotions. See, you don't fix this in the outer court. You fix this when you get closer to God. What does it mean when I live by emotions? I don't feel like doing this. How many of you know when you grow up and mature, you stop living by what you feel? Two-year-old babies tell you what they ain't gonna do. Grown folks can't do that. My son told me, he said, being a grown-up is expensive. I said, hallelujah. He's moving to a new place. Watch this, because the outer court is all about me. But the inner court, I start thinking about other people. This is the new level. I know this ain't exciting because y'all thought I was going to tell you how to get your house and your car and your breakthrough. And this is the breakthrough. This is the level. So how do I do this, Pastor? How do I move? This is very systematically. Every day, you ought to be thanking and praising God. Start your morning. And you might say, I don't have an hour to 2 hours to do everything you're about to tell me to do. Just start your day off like this and realize this is a full day process. You don't have to do this all in one day. Start your morning off. If you don't have time in the morning to spend time with God before you leave to go to work or go to school, just get up and say, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Put some worship music on and let that enter you into a place of thanksgiving and praise. Then as you go through the day, hit the bronze altar and confess any sins you have before the Lord. Lord, I confess before you that I'm a sinner and I need you. Could be as simple as that. Then as you come, I encourage you to get into your word. This is the laver, the washing with the water of the word we talk about. Read a Bible verse. Well, I don't know what to read. You know, if you're part of Operation Solid Lives, there's a daily Bible reading plan. If you don't have one, Jen, lift your hand. Watch this. Show them that. If you don't have one, we have a little journal that we can give you. It has a Bible reading plan in the back. It'll tell you if today is April 14th, you read the scripture from April 14th. And as you read the Bible, the Lord will begin to wash you. Then what you do is you talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me today. Reveal more. I want to go deeper. And as you walk through the day, you'll begin to see things that the Holy Spirit is doing that's going to change you and transform you. And then you're ready to be in a place where the Holy Spirit, where God Almighty himself dwells, where you and God talk face to face, where he's starting to download to you. What's funny is that Holy of Holies was pretty quiet because the priest didn't come in talking. All the talking was done at the altar of incense where they offer their prayers. But once I get behind the veil, I'm in a state of just listening to God, where God can speak to me. This is a process, and it only happens through practicing it every single day. If you'll do that, you'll get power, protection, and provision. Amen?